taken under advisement. The third case of the morning is number 041476, Lie against the Attorney General.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Peng Tian Meng on behalf of the petitioner in this case.
Good morning.
Your Honor, this case arose out of a young girl who cohabited with a young man in the city of Fuzhou in China. And because of this, later on, she would like to legitimize this cohabitation by submitting an application for marriage license while she was not eligible for a license because of her age. And the judge made some findings, but I had hard time to find a specific finding as to this petitioner's credibility as a whole. Of course, we can see some statements over there. Oh, this statement is not credible, that statement is not credible, but the judge did not make a finding as to the overall credibility of this petitioner. The judge denied the application for asylum. One basis is that because the girl submitted an application for marriage license, knowing that it is impossible to get the license, and that is not political opinion. I think that the judge was wrong in making this determination, because the issue in this case is that after the application was submitted, the girl, I think, attracted the attention of the police, and the four police officers came to his to her home trying to find her, and she had to run from place to place in order to avoid the police. And also she testified that because of the culture in the in China, the fact of the cohabitation without marriage is, you know, the community does not like it.
Mr. Ma,
yeah.
Forgive me, but how did Ms. Li make her political opinion known to the government? After all, the government would not persecute her on account of her political opinion unless they knew she held that opinion. So how did they know? I mean, it seems to me, and you can help me with this, it seems to me that simply breaking the law is not enough in the abstract to demonstrate political opinion about the law. There has to be some sort of context of protest, for example.
Your Honor, it's not a matter of breaking the law. She attracted the attention of the government by submitting the marriage application for marriage license. But the fact, she was cohabiting with a young man, and by submitting the application, the government discovered that she was living with the young man without being married. That is the, I do not believe that cohabitation out of a marriage should be regarded as violating any law. But the police came, the political opinion that's under the immigration law, if one person conscientiously resists the family planning policy of a country, it can be regarded as a political opinion. In this case, the police came to her home for two purposes. The official purpose, the official reason was that if the young people living together, they may, you know, get pregnant, they may give birth to babies. That's the official reason.
Well, look, I would agree with you that opposing a government's limits on marriage can indeed be a political opinion. But in this case, Ms. Li seemed to fear her neighbors as much, if not more, than the government. I mean, is she claiming, for instance, that the government would not protect her from her protect her from persecution by her neighbors?
Your Honor, I think this girl, the claim of this girl is based on the fact she was persecuted by the government because the police officers came to her home searching for her. This is one aspect of the persecution. The other one maybe
is... How was she persecuted or threatened with persecution? I mean, the police visit her home, but they don't, as far as I can tell, have any direct contact with her. I mean, am I wrong?
No, Your Honor, you're right. She was able to escape because she was staying at her neighbor's house. She saw the police officers coming to her home. She just ran away. But during the next subsequent 8 months, wherever she went, the police would be present after her. That was her testimony. That was her claim. That is the official action.
I mean, they're after her, but they never have any contact with her?
Yeah, they were not able to. She was successful avoiding the police.
How does she know the police are after her? Police are everywhere. I mean...
She testified that wherever she went, the police officers would come looking for her. But because I did not try this case, I was not the at the hearing. She testified as to the details of when the officer came and how she escaped. It is in the record.
Is she suffering from some paranoia?
Excuse me, Anna?
Is she suffering from some paranoia?
I don't believe there's anything in the record that she was suffering from any paranoia. I don't believe so. I don't believe there is any evidence in the record to that effect.
Was there any evidence in the record as to what the police said when they came?
I don't believe so. But she did see the police officer coming to her home, and after her, that was her testimony. The second aspect of the persecution is that in this case, the society, the community, is with the government. Although the persecution of the community may not be physical, may not be visible, but this young girl could feel it. She cannot go back. She could not go back to her hometown because she lived with a young man outside of marriage. That was the people in the community did not like it. She could not live within such a community with such prejudices, with such bias. That's the second aspect of the persecution. But the judge determined. The judge said, because you supplied an application for a marriage license, you know you were not eligible for this marriage license. That's not political opinion, because the law, you have to abide by the law of the country. You wanted to be an exception to the law. That's not an expression of political opinion. But the judge was wrong, because the persecution is the presence of the police officers and also the bias, the prejudice of the community, and not the fact that she submitted a marriage license application. The judge is wrong on this aspect. And also, the judge made an implied finding that the girl was not credible during the hearing. But one reason is that, oh, this girl lived in the community, in a rural, in a village where the moral restraints are very strict. It is unlikely that the girl of such a family background would leave her home to live with a young man without being married. That is one basis of the judge's determination. The other one is that the girl was able to obtain a passport. The judge determined, if you can obtain a passport, it's unlikely that you were persecuted. But there is a case, we cited the case, it's a Seventh Circuit case regarding the ability to obtain a passport. The court, the case, I think the case, the position of the case is that the mere fact that you can obtain a passport within the country does not mean that you were not persecuted. The other factual aspect is that the passport was obtained in 1999, before she was discovered cohabiting with this young man. The passport was not relevant, but that is the very basis of the judge's determination. The judge was wrong. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ma. We'll hear now from Mr. Covillion.
May it please the Court, Donald Covillion for respondent. Your Honors, this case comes down to one admission and one concession. In testimony, she says, "I was harassed." And in briefing, the claim, which is ever-shifting, is called interference with a personal relationship, and that's the case at its heart. It is harassment at its best, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with anyone's political opinion.
Now, are you arguing that opposing a government's limits on marriage can never constitute a political opinion? Because
I'm not arguing that, but I would hasten to point out to Your Honors, to the panel, that at this posture, there is no population control claim properly before the court. First, it was not advanced at hearing. It was only in the most perfunctory manner suggested before the board, and it has been abandoned at this posture. It is not even mentioned in the brief. But no, I'm not saying that under no circumstance would that be the case, Your Honor.
Because it certainly is a live political controversy in this country. Well, for example, the various states and federal government debating the issue of gay marriage. That's a political opinion, is it not?
Well, I was thinking it is, of course, but I was thinking that Your Honor was focusing on the particulars of this case, which only concern the requisite minimal age for marriage.
Well, I was just I'm personally concerned about the IJ, you know, the IJ's rationale. But
Could Your Honor help me with that particular?
I have to tell you, I don't know how applying early for a marriage license would constitute an expression of political opinion. So
I'm sorry, you said you do not?
I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, well, I was just having trouble hearing you.
In a very inarticulate way, I'm agreeing with you.
Well, in this case, it has absolutely nothing to do with political opinion. There is a case in the Ninth Circuit where it comes into play as part of an overall picture. That was the Lee case from the in-bank Lee case of the Ninth Circuit. But the facts in that case have nothing whatsoever to do with this case.
I mean, it just seems to me that here she didn't protest the marriage law. She sought to be an exception to it.
Well, you know, this is unfortunately, and it's a petitioner's burden to make his or her own record, and this is another case where they just don't tell you enough. And the attorneys perhaps don't ask enough, and the IJ perhaps doesn't ask enough, and you're left with whatever the petitioner proffers. And why in the world would this young woman, knowing she was 4 years underage and her boyfriend was underage, allegedly apply to be married after they've been living together in a neighborhood where it's okay, not her hometown, in her boyfriend's big city place? Why would they suddenly declare themselves by applying for this license when they can't receive it and exposing themselves, unless you're trying to set some sort of some sort of pattern that you can use later on when you get here. In other words, making your case by the bootstraps, so to speak. I mean, that's the only way I could understand it. She's obviously not a political person. She was from a fairly well-to-do household. She never had to work in her life. And if you believe her testimony, which the IJ did not believe, she bolted out of China well after all of these events had transpired with no plan on how to get beyond Jakarta. Well, that's just on its face incredible. I know this court sees many of these cases, and I don't wish to proffer myself as an expert, but I brief many of these cases, and I have never seen a Chinese asylum case where the person admits or claims that my plan was only to get as far as my first air landing and not beyond that to Chicago or Los Angeles or New York. And she allegedly meets this utter stranger who befriends her and gives her everything she needs for a modest amount of money in Jakarta that gets her to Japan and to Chicago. The fact that that is a fabrication, even though there was no fact-finding on it, is revealed by the fact that the immigration inspectors ascertained at the airport that she and another Chinese national had been escorted from Jakarta to Chicago. And that is a standard profile when a smuggler or a snakehead is used with people who are not confident enough of getting themselves from here to there. They pay for someone to accompany them. And this was, of course, a very inexperienced young woman. I just proffer that as just another indicia for the court's consideration. The IJ made mention of it, but did not, unfortunately, develop it to a full conclusion, as I've tried to do, but I'm not the fact finder. I'm just the advocate. It was mentioned that she never spoke with the police, which is another interesting thing on this abbreviated factual record, is there's no testimony, reliable testimony, what the police wanted with her. And her fear is always articulated as a fine. I'm going to be fined. And if I don't pay the fine, I might be incarcerated. Well, that happens everywhere in the world. You risk detention if you don't pay your fine. What she's fearing is a fine, not some kind of persecution. You're living, or she's living, in a society that, at least officially, is more puritanical than most. It's a case that's hard to get a handle on because it shifts, because the evidence is not sound enough or firm enough or particular enough, and the claim, who knows what the claim really is and what point. Unless there are any questions, that's all that I have, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Ma, your time had expired. I will give you 1 minute if you have something important.
1 minute, yes, I do have something. First of all, counsel raised the question as to whether the police action against this girl rose to the level of persecution. It seems to me counsel was implying that argument. First of all, persecution sometimes could be physical. I believe sometimes could be non-physical. In this case, the police, wherever she went, the police will be present. I believe the prejudice, the discrimination she suffered from the community, from the ever presence of the police, is a form of persecution that should be recognized by the court. But the judge did not determine, determination, his judgment on whether this rose to the level of persecution or not. Secondly, Your Honor, you mentioned you have a hard time figuring out whether you supplying a marriage license application when you were not eligible is an expression of a political opinion. I think under some circumstances it could be. If you know that the law...
So your time has expired.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks both to you and to counsel for the United States. The case will be taken under advisement.